Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. We all walk around with our mind. Wherever we go, it goes with us. It's in our head. When we look out of the world, sometimes we see what's in front of us, and sometimes we only see what's in our mind. Our mind is so powerful that it overwhelms our circumstances. It can be, what it's doing can be more impactful on us than what we're actually doing at the moment. Things get stuck in our minds. Sometimes we have a difficult situation or a problem that we can't seem to resolve. So whatever we do or whatever we're doing, this same problem or difficult situation goes through our mind like a loop and keeps repeating itself. And we may be driving a car, but what we're really doing is going through this loop of the problem that's bothering us at the moment. Our emotional attachment to that problem comes into being as if it were actually happening right now, even though we're doing something entirely different and something detached from that situation. We could get on an airplane and leave Pennsylvania and end up in California, yet our mind can still be in Pennsylvania with whatever it is that's bothering us. And the ability to be rid of this is very difficult. And the ability to clear our heads so that we are not in our past is very difficult. And as we've discussed, our past, when we're thinking about it, becomes our present. So there is no present. There's only the past, because that's what's in our head. So somehow we have to begin to differentiate what's going on and what went on. And somehow we have to separate ourselves from what went on so that we can go on with our own life instead of previous circumstances. We need to escape from our previous circumstances. We need to escape from the emotional baggage of our previous circumstances. Yet, there is a part of us that won't let go. Why? Why do we hold on to baggage that is mostly unhealthy for us? What makes us so attached to it? Well, unfortunately, some qualities that aren't good have a certain kind of juice that they give us. It's a negative juice, but it's still a certain kind of juice. If we have resentment against somebody because of something that they did, we'll carry that resentment, and it's if we're doing something to them while we're carrying the resentment. Anger works the same way. Jealousy works the same way. It gives us a negative impact. And sometimes we get accustomed to that negativity because it's such a powerful emotion. So we're feeling something, and because we're feeling something, we won't let go of what we're feeling. Hajj is a release. When one prepares for Hajj, one leaves wherever they are, goes on a trip to end up in Mecca. In order to prepare for Hajj, one puts on something called an ihram. An ihram is the clothes that you would put on, or would be put on you, if you were being buried. So the women wear a white dress, usually, and the men wear two pieces of white cloth. And prior to going to Hajj, you're supposed to clear up all of your worldly entanglements, all of your worldly situations, so that you can be free when you go on your pilgrimage. You're supposed to write a will, for instance. You're supposed to clear up all your debts, for instance. In truth, you should also clear up all your emotional entanglements, all the things that hold you in place while you travel around, all the things that don't let you be wherever you are while you travel around, all the things that don't let you move on with your existence. Now, what Hajj does is it says, you're going to be dead one day. And now you're preparing for that day. And you're going forward as if you are a corpse into the realm of your Lord. And you're going there to purify everything that's left in you so that you can be ready for this next stage of existence. Well, in the Sharia, that's one way that the pilgrimage is prepared for. In Sufism, you are supposed to die before the actual death. So, whether you're on pilgrimage or not, you should be preparing yourself for this state. That doesn't mean you shouldn't go on Hajj. I've been on Hajj. I've been on Umrah 10 times. It's an amazing experience, and it helps you for a lot of reasons. I had never been to the Middle East prior to going to Mecca. And when I got to Mecca, it was a little bit like going to Mars. It was so different from anything in my experience that I was totally overwhelmed by it, and it really put everything else out of my head. Secondly, I was separated by thousands of miles from everything I was involved in. And because I was with people who were helpful, they immediately put me into jibbas and a headdress. So I now was wearing clothes that I had never worn before. And of course, when we started, we were wearing sheets, actually towels, of ihram when we got to the Kaaba. So everything is sort of out of whack with your normal circumstances. And when things get out of whack with your normal circumstances, it does something to the way you think. When you have very, very powerful impulses from the outside, these powerful impulses can affect what's going on in the inside. But if you have your normative everyday impulses from the outside that you're used to, you can deflect them and stay in your head. You're not going to get to me. I got my problems, and that's what I'm going to hold on to. So, in Sufism, in the understandings we've been given by our Sheikh, he's told us that our wisdom has to come forth and be subtle enough to be able to slice our worldly situation away from us so that we can concentrate on the truth. There has to come a time when we realize that everything in our worldly situation is an illusion and shouldn't have an impact on the truth of our being. And learning how to do this is what's going to determine the kind of experiences you have in your daily life. Your daily life is either going to be lived in your head, which will recount your past, which will imagine your future, or your daily experience will be lived in reality, where you will be involved in the qualities that are Allah. You will be involved in love and in kindness and in compassion and in tolerance. And you will be constantly looking to assist what's going on in the world and to assist what comes into your path. So, one of the things that happens when you're constantly involved in your own mind, what are you thinking about? I, me, mine. I, me, mine. When you begin to slice that away, you begin to act in the way Allah acts, which is to be an assist to the rest of the world, which is to be a helpmate to the rest of the world, which is to give compassion and tolerance and kindness and love and justice to the rest of the world, which is to interact with everything that you come in contact with and to aid in that situation. When you're in Mecca, one of the things that you notice is that almost everybody is on their best behavior. And why are they on their best behavior? Because they are visitors to the house of God. They are visitors to the place where Allah has invited them to. And when you're in the house of your father, you have to be more careful. You have to be more conscious. You're also very much aware of the fact that you're so far removed from your everyday circumstances that, at least for this little bit of time that you're on Hajj, they have no impact on you. And it becomes pretty self-evident that those things have no impact on you. And you can differentiate easier what's just going on in your mind and what's actually going on in front of you. And when you're on Hajj, you have so many things going on in front of you that it shocks you into the recognition of your present situation and your present moment and the now as opposed to the past and the future. First place, you're standing with millions of people who are all very close to you. And they're so close to you that sometimes to take a step, the person in front of you has to take a step first, or you can't take a step. This makes you conscious in a different way. And you're in the midst of ritual, where you're supposed to be performing certain things. So you become conscious of these things that you're supposed to be doing. And it separates you from the past and from the future. And it leaves you in the moment. Sufis are sometimes called sons of the moment. Sons of the moment. It means that they live now. They don't live in their past. They don't live in the future. Because the past is not your reality. The future hasn't happened yet. It's an imagination. The only thing we have is this moment. And if we can be in this moment, we can enter reality. This moment is a doorway to reality. The past is a veil. The future is a veil. We have to get rid of the veils that block reality. And what are those veils? We are those veils. Our imagination are those veils. Our thoughts are those veils. We have to understand a very subtle way to be able to concentrate on the truth and elevate the truth above the ordinary circumstances of our life. But if we are trying to make this shell that we walk around in more important than the truth, then we can't go to reality, because we're very, very busy making this shell important. And as long as we try to make this shell important, we've lost our focus. Our focus is no longer on the truth. Our focus is back to I, me, mine. What's next for I? What's next for me? What's next for mine? How do I get what I deserve? That state is the jail that keeps us tied into the ocean of illusion. That state of making ourselves more important than reality is what keeps us in the state of illusion. We can't enter compassion, true compassion, until we've left ourselves. We can't enter true love until we've left ourselves. We can't enter into the qualities that belong to Allah until we've left ourselves. So, what are you doing? I'm leaving. What are you leaving? I'm leaving myself. Where are you going? To the truth. I'm on my daily Hajj. I'm on my pilgrimage every moment. My pilgrimage never stops. It has no beginning, it has no end. It just goes on. It's the endless tour. And when we can begin to understand the nature of our obligation to Allah, our true obligation to Allah, which is to become a true human being, then we begin to understand what our life is supposed to be like and the things we should be doing in our life. So, as we do our daily work, in the same way that when you do your daily work, you can think about your problems and you can think about your difficulties. In the same way, when you do your daily work, you can think about the glory and grace of our Lord simultaneously. We are capable of doing more than one thing at a time. The worldly chores are minimal when held before the majesty of our Lord. So what we need to do is hold ourselves before the majesty of our Lord and have the majesty of our Lord overwhelm us so that we disappear. And we disappear voluntarily because we are overwhelmed by the majesty and awe of our Lord to the point that we see that treasure and we understand that that treasure is greater than any treasure our imagination can come up with. The mind has no candle when it comes to the light that our Lord gives off. And we need to be able to look at that light, not the flicker that our mind gives off. The flicker of wealth, the flicker of fame, the flicker of sex, the flicker of sensory satisfaction. These things can become obsessive for us, but when held to the light that is Bismillahirrahmanirrahim, they burn away, and then we can see the truth. So, Hajj is not a one-time experience. Hajj is on two levels. There's the earthly level of making the trip to Mecca and doing all the rituals that we're supposed to do. And then there's the daily experience of leaving our worldly self and turning ourselves over to our Lord, of leaving our worldly problems and turning ourselves over to grace, of leaving all of the things that keep us trapped inside our small, tiny view of the world and expanding us to the entire universe. In each one of us exists everything. And everything is open to each one of us. But as long as all we see is ourselves, this immensity becomes contracted into this tiny little being that has a name, and we pay all of our attention to that. And we spend all our time grooming that and dressing that and adorning that. Why do people walk around with gold chains on? Why do people wear 82 bangles on their arms? Why do they have tailors who make individual pieces of clothing for them? Why? So that they can somehow stand out. So that this body can stand out. We're not about this body. We're about what's inside this body. Allah gave us a breath to begin our existence. And in that breath, He gave us a soul. And in that soul is a connection to our Creator. And that soul is our true life. We are lights. We are not elemental. And when we make that separation, we can become free. It takes a very strong faith to make the break, to jailbreak. You have to make the jailbreak. And we have to remove ourselves from the jail that is our illusory existence and break out into the open space that is Allah's truth and Allah's reality and Allah's qualities. May we all be able to understand that, and may we all be able to have the faith that it's true, so in the time of our doubt, we suppress that feeling and are able to move on and go further and further on this path of truth so that we can enter into Allah's qualities and into the reality of existence. Ameen, ameen. Ya Rabbil Alameen, Assalamu Alaikum wa Rahmatullahi wa Barakatuh.